In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, Sean Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy maskless Monday, hopefully, for those of you that are listening. KLZ 560. And we got a great show in store for you today. I'll talk a little bit about that, some of what I experienced over the weekend. Jared Stepman's going to join us at 3:30 and also talk a little bit more about just the relaxation of rules and masks and so on. I've got some experiences that I had over the weekend, as well as some articles that I read that I will counter in this first hour of today's program as well. And then we also have in hour number two, Charlie will have to help me with the pronunciation once we actually speak to her, but it's Leah Vukmir, I believe. She is the Vice President of State Affairs of a group that's fighting against the Colorado transportation tax hike. She is with the National Taxpayers Union. We will talk to her in the 4 o'clock hour. Richard Rush, of course, will join me as well. And then Guy Perlmutter will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. He's author of The Present Future. He's going to talk about the deep tech revolution, how that's affecting business and science as well. And then Todd Lindsay also will join us. And he's going to talk about, or actually he's going to join us here in just a minute, talk about how a lot of businesses still need help when it comes to COVID and financing and things like that. So again, a lot in store for you today. The impossible question, which again, is on the rushtoreason.com website. You can just go there and answer it. The question of the day is, the average American does this about five times a week. What is it? And here's your choices. Order online, text or email a meme, call a friend, or research something online they didn't mean to research, or other. So you can answer that on the rushtoreason.com website. Again, the average American does this about five times a week, or I guess you could say once a day. Order online, text or email a meme, call a friend, research something online they didn't mean to research. Ordering something online every day or five times a week, that for some people is going to be excessive. You've got a business or something like that, that may be normal, but I think for a lot of folks that would be abnormal. I don't think many people call friends anymore either, Charlie. I think that's also something that's dying. You may text a friend and if need be, call and follow up, but I think texting a friend would be more at the top of the list. And, you know, the memes might actually win. I could see the average person sending those five times a week. Charlie's never sent one. I don't do it often, but if there's a good one that really comes across my desk, I might forward that on to a few people, Richard being one of those. He and I will do that back and forth, some Richard, Walt, and I. It just depends on the circumstances or the meme. But answer this question again on the rushtoreason.com website. The average American does this about five times a week. What is it? So, all right, let me get right into the show today. And I want to go through just a couple of experiences that I had over the weekend, which, by the way, were fabulous. One being yesterday, and I have work that I do on Saturday, as you all know. I come here, I do the show. I had some other meetings and stuff after the show Saturday, so I really didn't finish my work day Saturday till about 6 o'clock. So, frankly, I was tired. I didn't do anything, didn't feel like doing anything. I just sort of vegged out. But yesterday, I had birthday party and other things that I did with the grandkids, and then went to Costco shortly thereafter. And I thought, you know, just going to test the waters and walk in with no mask. I was kind of looking around to see who is coming and going without them. And it seemed that about a third of the people in the store and walking out had no masks on. And believe it or not, some of the workers inside the store had no masks on. The little gal that was at the jewelry, center thing that they have in there did not have a mask on. So it was sort of hit and miss. And what I will say is this, not one person gave me a stink eye, especially from any of the workers. The workers were extremely friendly. On the way out, they even made sure that, you know, not just the person checking your ticket, but even after that, hey, did you find everything you needed? I had some big, heavy stuff on my cart. Do you need help getting that stuff loaded up? This, that, and the other. They were extremely helpful. Not one person said anything about me not wearing a mask. In fact, on my way out of the store, there were some people walking in that actually said, hey, thumbs up. Nice to see a smile. In other words, they were glad to see people leaving the store without a mask on. So that was my Costco experience. I went to Torchy's in Arvada last night. By the way, great place to have tacos. If you've never been to a Torchy's, it's well worth going and visiting. And so went in, had some tacos. And I will tell you that I actually talked to the little gal waiting on me because none of the workers there had masks on. None. Not a single person inside there that worked for Torchy's had a mask on, which, by the way, Torchy's, congratulations. Awesome. You get my seal of approval. That's why I'm giving you a free commercial. Torchy's in Arvada. I know they've got them all over the country, but the one in Arvada, no one wore a mask that worked there. And I asked the little gal, what's it like not having to wear a mask now? She's like, oh. She said, it's so great. She said, it's such a relief. I can actually see people's expressions and hear what they're actually ordering without asking, can you say that again? Because let's face it, folks, the masks muffled what people were trying to do. It's, again, one of the reasons why Andy and I keep saying masks are a retail killer. They are a shopping killer. I went one more place yesterday. Yes, I made the rounds yesterday. Ended up at Kohl's late last night. Don't know why, just they were there, went, needed some stuff. And again, in the store, about 50-50, probably a little more than that. I think there was a lot of folks at Kohl's because the signs were all still up on the sign at Kohl's saying you needed to wear a mask. But upon entrance without one, again, no one said a word, not a single worker. I actually needed to use the restroom, so I walked all the way to the back, went all the way through the customer service area. People were returning things, you know, from Amazon back at the customer service desk. Not one person said a word. There were other people in there without masks. And even those that were wearing masks did not give those of us that did not have masks any kind of a dirty look, stink eye, anything along those lines. Here is my prediction. And Andy, you were right about the masks in here in the state of Colorado. Here in the state of Colorado, here's my prediction. I think it's going to go wrong the rest of the country as well, though. You are going to see more and more of this happen, less and less people wearing masks. There will be, I believe, those people that, for whatever reason, need to wear one that will continue to wear one. Great. Good for them. And by the way, we that are not wearing them now don't need to look down upon those that are. If they want to wear it, so be it. Feel free to do so. It's a free country. Do whatever you want to, which, by the way, this is the way it should have been all along. So I am not going to give anybody the stink eye or ask somebody why they're wearing a mask. They're free to do whatever they want to do. But I would predict that in the coming weeks, maybe month at most, you're going to see less and less of those individuals and more people not wearing them. There will be those that are going to hang on to that thing like a pacifier from now until they actually feel stupid wearing one. Or if they've got some sort of an immune disorder and they feel like they need to from this point forward, which, by the way, those individuals that, in fact, if you're listening to me and you have an immune disorder, you right now should be wearing the N95 with the valve on if you're really wanting to protect yourself. That's really what you should be doing. And I get it. Some are wanting to protect others if they haven't been vaccinated. That's another conversation, by the way, we'll talk about tomorrow. Kevin Flesch is going to join us. We'll get some legal advice on who can and cannot ask you whether or not you've even been vaccinated. Because a lot of stores are saying, well, if you've been vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask. Joe today said that. Joe Biden, Uncle Joe, in a big press conference. You know, if you've been vaccinated, you no longer need to wear the mask. In fact, the CDC says don't wear one if you've been vaccinated. It actually might harm you more than help you. It's interesting and ironic how a lot of these things that are now coming out of the White House and the CDC are the same things we've been saying for a year now. Literally, folks, a year we've been saying these same things. So, again, we got a lot in store for you. That will be one of the topics we cover. Todd Lindsay, again, is going to join us here in just a moment. He is co-founder and CEO of A10 Capital. That is an SBA-approved and a PPP lender. And there are a lot of you listening that may find yourself in a situation where you need, especially now, some extra cash to get some things going when it comes to getting things back up and running with COVID. Charlie and I were just talking about that through the break. So we'll talk to Todd here in just 1 minute. Before that, though, Golden Eagle Financial. Al Smith would love to help you with your financial planning future. And as I've said before, especially last week, if you've gone all the way through COVID and you haven't met with your advisor at all, especially face-to-face, you need a new advisor. I mean that. If you've not heard from your advisor at all, other than through some newsletter email updates, you need a new advisor. Give Al a call today. Find him at klzradio.com or 303-744-1128.
These three factors will determine the size of your nest egg in retirement: how much you set aside, what sort of return you get on that money, and the age you start saving. Now, you can't turn back the clock and start saving for retirement sooner, but you can start planning right now, whether you're 46 or 66. Ask Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial how to create a new tax-free income in retirement so you can make your money last. You've already done the heavy lifting by contributing to your 401k or IRA all these years. Now it would be wise to have another separate investment account funded with after-tax dollars so that in the event of a financial emergency, you don't need to borrow or extract funds that are earmarked for retirement. We have no idea what will happen to the tax code in the future, so make certain a portion of your assets will continue to grow tax-free and generate tax-free income in the future. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money to set up a free consultation with Al Smith. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, folks, Memorial Day is literally just around the corner. Not this weekend, but the following. Get your meat and everything that you need ready to go for that weekend, and then even on after into Father's Day in the summer, as far as that goes. And I'm going to tell you, prices will be increasing. You're already starting to see it. Charlie and I were just talking about that a moment ago. I can also predict that when it comes to this meat end of things, with all of these restaurants coming back online, the amount of demand in a lot of those areas will come up. And some of you will say, well, people are still eating the same amount of meat. No, not necessarily. People, when you eat at home, a lot of times you will snack and do things and not even prep a meal, and you will eat differently than if you actually go out to eat for an actual meal. And in that case, I do believe that you'll see the protein side of the fence, the consumption of protein increase, which is going to drive prices up. So beat that price increase. Go to Barber's Foods right now. You can order whatever you want online, and they'll deliver it directly to you. That's two S's, barbersfoods.com.
It's time to get out the grill for some all-natural, mouth-watering meats raised right here at home from Barber's Foods. For over 70 years in Colorado, Barber's Foods has stayed true to their mission to provide their customers with only the highest quality organic, antibiotic-free meats from family farms they know personally. So whether you're buying beef, bison, pork, or poultry, they know where it's coming from and the families who raise the animals with care and respect. Place your order now at barbersfoods.com or call 303-466-7338. Pick up your order at the Denver warehouse, located at I-70 and Brighton Boulevard near the National Western Center, or for those in the Denver metro area, Barber's Foods will deliver direct. Colorado-sourced bison, organic grass-fed beef, USDA prime beef, purebred Wagyu, slow-raised non-GMO Duroc pork, free-range chicken, non-GMO turkeys, and more. Barber's Foods, 100% Colorado native owned and operated. Barbersfoods.com.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
But Rachel Maddow says, I just feel like I'm not wired that way anymore. You want to know why it's a left-right thing? Because that's how lefties think. The left wants to be subservient to the government. Tell us what to do.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
God, country, reason. Now back to John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Todd Lindsay joining us now, co-founder and COO of A10 Capital. Todd, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate it very much. And I know, as I was just talking as we opened up the show today, as I was out, you know, shopping and doing some things yesterday, you know, a lot of folks walking around, you know, shopping, doing things with no masks on. You can see things starting to pick back up again, although a lot of these businesses, Todd, are going to need some additional help funding-wise to even get back to where they were pre-COVID. And I feel that's where you guys can come in and help and offer some things for those folks that might be listening.
Yeah, you know, the PPP program, which is one of those things that the government did to help small business people, ran out of money a couple weeks ago. It was kind of unexpected for the system. I mean, we were anticipating at least running, you know, until now, let's say, at least, and maybe till the end of the month. And it's left, you know, about 20 million small businesses, the smallest businesses behind, essentially sole proprietorships, but also a lot of, you know, bigger small businesses with, you know, 10 or so employees were eligible for a second loan and they weren't able to get in line in time. And so they've been left behind. And, you know, the government's going to need to step in, or I guess those folks will be just out of luck.
Or they'll have to go out into the open market and find some private funding as well. That just becomes harder, though, for a lot of the businesses you just mentioned, does it not?
Absolutely. And there's a lot of data and information out there suggesting right now that 30 to 40% of the small businesses aren't going to make it.
Wow,
because
that's a
of the
high
pandemic
number.
And the four, you know, that's the four shutdowns. I mean, it's hard to make money when the government doesn't let you transact.
That's exactly right.
And I live in Boise, Idaho, and we've been relatively open, I'd say, compared to most places in the country. And things are, thank God, they're getting back to normal. But I'd say we're running at probably 65 to 70%. We've been open a lot longer than anybody else, and I don't think we'll return to normal till the end of the year. So these folks that have been, you know, bootstrapping themselves, hitting their credit cards and doing all that, probably doing some more help.
Yeah, and I think, Todd, you guys are ahead of even us here in Colorado. We really just this weekend had some, you know, some reprieve with a lot of what's going on in some of our counties going to full capacity in restaurants and things along those lines. No, everything you're saying, you are spot on. For those that are listening that may find themselves in, you know, that predicament, they missed out on the PPP, they maybe don't have the credit they need to get, you know, additional funding, you know, do you have any advice for them at all on things they could potentially do to try to make it through this next phase of their business?
Yeah, well, there's a couple things we can get to in a second on the PPP and the potential extension of that and how that might play into this and help them. But if that is not an option, then the solutions become much more problematic. I mean, you have to go raise money somehow. As I'm sure you're aware, you know, raising equity-type capital is very expensive for people. You know, you're going to sell your soul to get some of that, those most risky dollars into your business. And at some point, it just isn't worth it. So you're going to, you know, maybe think about doing something else, starting over. I think there's, you know, a lot of potential negative impacts. You know, if you're strong enough to make it to the other side, it is going to be probably a pretty good environment because a lot of people aren't going to make it. So the competitive landscape will have changed in your favor. It's just a matter of survival at this point for a lot.
Yeah, and Todd, I coach businesses and still own one myself, and you know, I do feel for those other businesses that have struggled, especially those that were, quote, I hate the term essential, non-essential, because I feel like everybody's essential, Todd, so I hated that label. Yeah. But, you know, those businesses, let's say it this way, those that were allowed to stay open versus those that had to have, you know, shutdowns or even minimization of their business. And I would not normally say this, Todd, because I'm not normally a guy that would advise on, you know, borrowing on equity in your home. But especially here in Colorado, we've got a lot of equity in a lot of our homes because of the prices that have gone up. And I would tell some of those businesses that maybe are struggling to find some new capital, that if that's the only option you've got is to go tap in, get a line of credit on your home or something along those lines, you know, I wouldn't normally say to do that, Todd, but I would now.
Oh, I think that's, if you're going to have to get money, that's the best place in the world to get it. You know, it's deductible interest. It's the least expensive money out there for those types of businesses now, and generally, it's a great place to borrow to grow your business. And if you look at the analysis and you go, hey, at the other side of this, my business is going to have an opportunity to thrive, then I would agree with you. And I would also not normally tell people to take on debt. I'm a fairly debt-adverse person for myself.
Well, and I especially am when it comes to the roof over your head, but these are unique circumstances, Todd.
Completely agree with you, 100%. The other thing they can do that's a little bit more of a long shot is to reach out to your congressional folks out there, you know, senators and congresspeople, and ask them to consider extending the PPP. It's going to take, and I don't like doing this either, it's probably going to take nearly $100 billion, which is about a 10% incremental funding on the PPP to make it available to these sole proprietors that have not had the opportunity to get there. You know, 90% of the PPP money, over 90%, went to the bigger small businesses, less than 10 to sole proprietors. The bigger small businesses had 270 days of access to the PPP program. The smaller ones, about 70.
I see.
You know, so there's been, you know, and it wasn't designed that way. It just happened that way.
Right.
The fee structure that lenders were paid, incentivized us to go and make loans to bigger small business people. And I think we did a really good job helping those guys out. It's these little tiny businesses that hopefully one day grow into bigger businesses.
I think, by the way, I think you're correct. And again, as I said earlier, I coach small businesses, and all the ones I've coached ended up with one round, in some cases two, because I think, A, we were just up front. We knew it was coming. We applied, of course, advised them on those things and how to do that and so on. And I think where a lot of these small businesses, as you mentioned, Todd, sort of got behind the eight ball is I don't think it was communicated well enough to them that it was available to them. Am I right in saying it that way?
Absolutely. So many, of the smallest businesses were told that they were ineligible because they didn't have employees or they didn't have a banking relationship or a myriad of excuses, when in truth, they were eligible. To give you an example, though, you could do a $10 million loan in the PPP. The fee for that was $100,000 to the lender. The cost structure for these loans is about $2,000 apiece, roughly. So that lender would make $98,000 doing a big loan. If they did a $5,000 or a $10,000 loan to a sole proprietor, which is kind of where those loans end up being, they would have lost $1,500 doing the loan. So, a bank's not going to go out looking to do tens of thousands of little loans where they lose $1,500 a loan. They're going to do the ones where they do make money. And you know, $100,000 loan, that really worked out well for a bank. So they were interested in doing those and taking care of their good customers, which they should do.
Right.
And then in 2021, they passed a fee change. The Trump administration did, where lenders were paid basically a minimum fee of $2,500. So those smaller loans became profitable. But they also passed a rule where certain businesses, if you qualified, were eligible for a second loan. So the first half of 2021's PPP production, all of us lenders were out making loans to our existing customers from 2020. So we didn't really focus on the smaller borrowers until about 10 weeks ago. And the tidal wave of people that came to us is unbelievable.
I can imagine.
And they say that right now, there's the latest estimate I saw, there's 4 million people in the application process, almost all sole proprietors with an average loan size of about $15,000, in the system, and they're not going to get in unless there's a refunding. So you got that sitting there, maybe as high as 5 or 6 million, and they are going to be out of luck if they don't put some more money and more time, by the way, because it is, to your point, it takes more time to educate these people, to get through all the misinformation, to get them to come and participate in the program that they have been eligible for essentially the entire time. It's just the economic incentive wasn't there, and just business forces worked against those folks.
Todd, you gave me some great information, some of even the fee structure I did not know, so you gave me some education today, which I appreciate very much. How do folks find you and A10 Capital?
Well, we're at a10capital.com. We're a commercial real estate lender and a approved SBA PPP lender as well. But, if I have one thing to say to the folks out there, if you were lucky enough to get a PPP loan, pay it forward and call your senators and congresspeople and tell them to, cut these guys some slack and let them into the program. And that's what I really want people to do right now, and let these people get access to this money. And, would we benefit from that a little bit? Yeah, but not much. It's really about the borrowers in this case. So.
And for everybody listening to him, make sure that I'm very clear in my enunciation. It's A as in Adam, A10 Capital. I want to make sure I say that right, Todd.
Yep, you got it. Perfect.
All right, sir, I appreciate it very much. Thanks for joining me, and anytime, Todd, you're welcome, especially if there's another round that comes out and we can get some more information out to small businesses. I would love to do so.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to you again sometime.
Todd, thank you very much. I do appreciate it. And again, folks, it's Adam, A10 Capital, and you could just hear some of the things he did. So some of you even that are looking for some other funding options when it comes to even equipment, things along those lines. I know these guys well enough, and by the way, I don't do business with them. When their name came up, though, I know about them, and they do that sort of thing as well. So they do, equipment financing, commercial real estate, things along those lines. So for some of you listening that might need some additional help that you're not getting from your local bank, Todd and his crew at A10 Capital may very well be a place that you can go to and find out, whether they can help you or not. So we'll get Jared Stepman on the line here in just one moment. American National Insurance is next. Now, all of you need insurance, and it's just one of those things that right now you really need to double check to make sure you're properly covered. With the increases we've had with rebuilding costs and even just overall cost of the home you're living in now, and in some cases, even your vehicle, please make sure that you review those policies and make sure they're all up to speed. Call Paul today, my agent, 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning. He is our planner when it comes to wills, estates, trusts, even living wills. And if you don't have those things in order, folks, please get that done today. It's an easy phone call, and it's an easy way to get things done. Just call Michael. It's 720-394-6887 or find him at klzradio.com.
You're planning a date night with your wife, trying to decide between dinner and a movie, or meeting with Michael Bailey, KLZ's mobile estate planner, to set up a will or trust and establish medical and financial powers of attorney. You could either enjoy some food and entertainment or come face to face with your own mortality. It is possible to do both. Get your affairs in order now so you can carry on with the fun stuff. KLZradio.com/estate.
Fuel shortages led to a fistfight at a gas station. Average gas prices have reached $3 a gallon for the first time in 7 years. Kim Munson here. We take it for granted until we don't have it. Tuesday, Bob Boswell, CEO of Laramie Energy, explains the cyber attack on the Colonial Pipeline has shown us how important reliable, efficient, abundant, and affordable energy is to power our lives. Jen Hewlin updates us on the latest at Water's Edge Winery. That's Tuesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m. right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Keep freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion alive by contributing to support The Kim Munson Show at KimMunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. We'll get Jared Stedman on here in just one moment. And if I get time with Jared, I want to debunk a particular article even that was out today in the Colorado Sun. And I had a big, long email ready to send to the individual that wrote this, but I'm going to tweak a few things in it and probably send that either later tonight or tomorrow. Let me just say this, folks. There's a lot of folks out there, especially those on the left, really probably all on the left, that do not want to see COVID and its restrictions go away. I believe that wholeheartedly, and they are doing every single thing they possibly can, including writing articles and doing things along those lines in the press that are very much inaccurate and frankly flat-out lies. In the particular case of the article I'm telling you about, it was flat-out lies that are in it. I'll talk about that as we go through the rest of the program. Jared Stedman, though, joining us, Daily Signal. Jared, I was just explaining to folks that there's an article out here in one of our local publications this morning that literally is lying about what's going on with COVID, really talking about these fourth waves that frankly do not exist, talking about how Colorado is in a fourth wave, and yet I went and looked at all the data today and nothing could be farther from the truth. And I just feel like, Jared, there's individuals out there that are not going to let this whole, I call it COVID control, they're not going to let that go away.
I think you're absolutely right. It's amazing, especially as the rates of COVID have gone down dramatically. Many people across this country, really across the world, have been vaccinated, which, of course, look, we've been told since the beginning, we got to wait, we got to flatten the curve, we got to wait for the vaccine. We've waited for that vaccine. People are getting it. People are getting it sick. The weather's warming up. You know, things are getting much, much better. I think the American people, I think in large part, are starting to see that. But I absolutely believe that there are certain individuals who are committed to this idea that we're all in this together. We have to lock down for 100% safety. And yep. I think there are a lot of interests that are involved in that. And I think it's destructive.
I do, too. And I was I shared with you a little bit earlier in our email exchange, but shared with my listeners. You know, went out yesterday, did some shopping, and it was just enjoyable. Went to Costco and Kohl's and a place to eat. And by the way, for those of you listening, sorry, I said Torchy's Tacos earlier. I had a correction there. It was Fuzzy's Tacos in Arvada. Either way, Jared, it was nice to just go in and see even the entire wait staff of the taco place not in a mask. And literally, Jared, I'm not exaggerating, to see the exchange and the joy, I guess you could say, on the patrons' faces inside of a place with no masks, it was quite amazing, actually. It was unbelievable.
You know, it's funny. I had the same experiences. I mean, this weekend, I went into a coffee shop. I went to go get a burrito at a burrito shop, and I just walked in, no mask. People were not wearing masks. I think people were – there was a kind of like elation, like this relief that, you know, society is still here. Things are still going. You know, this can end when we want it to end. And I think, you know, what we're seeing is we're done with this.
Yep.
You know, we've gone through so many, I think, pains. Of course, businesses have been wrecked. The economy has been devastated. People's lives have been changed in really dramatic ways. I think it's very sad, you know, especially reading articles, people who say they're not prepared to go back to the world as it was before. And I'm thinking, you know, I am so happy. I had a smile on my face,
mm-hmm.
you know, thinking, you know, we missed so many of these things in the past year. And I think especially of younger people, children, you know, their lives have only been a few years, and much has been devoted now to being locked down and
yep.
shut down. How nice it must be now in the coming months as we reopen and get back to work, get back to life.
I agree. I like what you're saying, get back to life. And I feel, you know, Jared, and I do this, I mean this sincerely, I feel bad. My heart goes out to those individuals that say things like, I just don't think I can ever get back to quote-unquote normal. I think to myself, holy cow, these are people that just don't know how to handle any kind of crisis that comes along, because frankly, Jared, this will not be the last thing in any of our lives that we have to cross over, you know, to get to the other side, whether it be a death of a loved one or any other number of things that can happen. You know, things are going to happen in life, and you know, the cards get dealt in such a way that, you know, you don't control these things. And if you're going to not be able to go back to normal because of what we've been through this past year, man, you're in bad shape, Jared.
You really are, and I'm worried that this will create a lot of antisocial behavior with people and a lot of other issues. And again, I think that to a certain extent that is a product of a media environment, which is, of course, you know, as you know, you just noted as I came on, creates a kind of environment of I think often hysteria. It likes to sensationalize things, and I think there are a lot of people who have, you know, almost like PTSD with this now, and I think
mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
really unfortunate. I think that's going to be bad for a lot of people who are now not going to be willing to come out and do the things that are necessary to live a happy, normal, human life. I mean, this world in which we're all locked in, ordering food and not seeing friends and not seeing family and thinking, oh, can I visit my parents on Christmas? That's not a world that's going to be building strong communities.
No.
It's going to be developing a lot of, I think, antisocial behaviors. It'll become self-destructive, and I do very much worry that there'll be large parts of our population who will just continue on with that world as it is, who will not attempt to reemerge like others do.
I was a little bit surprised, you know, Jared, even that and there's been some battling, by the way, internally on the left, where the CDC came out Friday with their announcement, and then states followed up with similar announcements, and yet the White House was sort of lagging behind and even came out today with some of their own statements, and it's interesting that they're not all on the same page. I mean, it's not that they never, you know, that they aren't typically, but in this case, you would think they would all be on the same page. There's even been some criticism from the White House to the CDC in making these different announcements. But I guess what I'm asking is, I really find it almost surprising that they did this, knowing that ultimately you and I both know that if we're going to create the environment that they really want, being antisocial is the goal. So really, for them to release us back into quote-unquote society and release business and commerce and so on, I'm trying to figure out right now who's really in charge, Jared, because I don't think the White House is.
Yeah, it was interesting to see almost disappointment from people to see the CDC change its guidelines.
Right.
Now, I know the CDC from the beginning has often vacillated on a lot of policies. I think it's lost a lot of trust. with the American people. But, you know, I think, I believe a lot of people saw that guideline come out and people said, well, hey, now it's time that we don't have to wear the mask, that we can carry on as usual. And I think a lot of people were certainly very much excited by that. But it was amazing to see the disappointment from certain quarters that, again, they're very much committed to this idea of locking down until it's 100% mm-hmm. safe, that nothing possibly could happen because of corona. And they're so committed to this. It's almost like it's become, you know, its own ideology, its own creed. It's kind of meshed in almost like a religious conviction.
Right.
The people who celebrate Dr. Fauci as
right.
some kind of
right.
saint or something. And I think it's really much mm-hmm. wedded to that.
I agree. I'm wondering, and get your thoughts on this, if, you know, did some of the, you know, economists, Federal Reserve, and so on have something to play in this? Because we had numbers that came out Friday that, let's face it, were not too encouraging when it came to, you know, getting the economy back on track, especially as we enter into the, you know, end spring and enter into some of the summer months now. And job hiring wasn't what they thought it was going to be. You know, do you think this was a lot of maybe those on the inside saying, wait a minute, time out. If we don't get things back on track, we are never going to get back on track, economically speaking. And it's time we get people's, you know, confidence and consumer confidence back up and get people back to work and spending money, which, by the way, I saw yesterday. I don't think it's going to take a whole lot to make that happen. But do you think that's where that's coming from? Just give me your thoughts. I know you're not going to know exactly, but give me your thoughts.
I think that's an excellent observation, actually, and it goes to this idea that, you know, the CDC has been making guidelines based on a lot of times on politics and not science. And I think you're absolutely right. I think the administration is a bit spooked about the economic numbers that, you know, they thought that they were going to show the economy roaring back to life. Now we're seeing possibly a massive uptick in inflation, an economy that isn't coming back the way it should. And I think they want to be able to both go out there, you know, of course, have, you know, President Biden mm-hmm. wearing his mask at every event and all these things. But they also know that this can't continue for the state of the country, for the economy. It just can't. And it is incredibly destructive. Businesses are ready to go. They want to get going. The American people want to get going. So they want to kind of play both games here. They want to continue to signal to, I think, a base that is very much committed to this idea that we're going to wear masks and we're all shut down for a long time, but also doesn't want to see these really negative numbers. It may hurt them, especially with independents who aren't so connected
right.
to that and see that, hey, you know, things
right.
aren't going very well right now. Our economy's bad. We have a lot of crises that are now in our hands. We can't just continue to stay locked down.
And moving that into, you know, our next topic, which is, you know, kids. I mean, really, we have masked up kids, frankly, for no reason, because we all know that kids, number one, don't spread it like everybody thought they did and are very, very much immune from having any adverse effects when it comes to COVID in their lives. I mean, we've seen that over and over again now. I mean, the science says that if you're an adult under the age of 30, even, your chances of having any real negative problems is pretty much nil. Let's just say this, Jarrett, there's a lot of other things in life that have high risk that these individuals do on a regular basis that are of higher risk of having harm than COVID. And yet we're still running around requiring, you know, masks on kids. I mean, I can't wait for the next fight to break out on an airline where, you know, a 2-year-old won't wear a mask and they get thrown off, which, by the way, I think is absurd.
It is absurd. It's incredibly sad. I do think about, you know, the kids who have been dealing with this now for over a year and the kind of difficulty that is. You know, how terrible it is that this recent guidance didn't include children. And I believe that at some point in the next few weeks, they're going to eventually back down on that too. Not because, again, not because the science says suddenly it's safe for kids to not have masks, but I think the political pressure is definitely going to be there. I mean, kids should be out. They should be out, you know, playing t-ball. They should
right.
be out,
right.
You know, mingling with their friends. They should be socializing. They have been missing out on that for a year, a huge part of their development, especially younger children. And I think it's sad to keep them masked up, especially given that, you know, the science really doesn't support it at this point at all. And it hasn't, as you said, for quite some time.
That's right. And you look at some of these states like Texas, by the way, which was going to be, you know, they were a bunch of Neanderthals, according to Joe Biden. And yet this weekend, they've now reported zero deaths from COVID. And yet they are one of the most open states we have, Jarrett. So it's interesting that, you know, we've got Texas doing a lot of the things you and I have talked about now for really months, if not a full year. They're doing it, and their caseload hasn't gone down, not gone up. It's the opposite of what everybody said would happen.
It really is. And, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of sorting in the next few months where a lot of people see that to say, hey, things are going a lot better in Texas. They're going a lot better in Florida. You know, I might want to think about moving my family to a state like that, more, you know, has a better environment for my future, that, that rejects, I think, this idea that we need to be locked down forever, we need to be masked up forever. I think these states have really proven themselves, and it would be nice to have some acknowledgement, especially in the media, that a lot of the doomsaying about this never came true. It never came to fruition. You know, they were calling these, you know, governors Dr. Death and things like this.
That's right.
And it was all hyperbole. It was all ridiculous.
Those guys need apologies, and by the way, Jared, to your point, that the press and others that said that need to apologize to those governors and even the citizens of those states.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, we're getting things like, you know, DeSantis for Ron DeSantis in Florida. These things never came true. In fact, a lot of their policies saved a lot of lives.
That's right.
Unlike some, like Governor Andrew Cuomo, who many of his decisions in New York led to many people, especially older people in nursing homes, directly led to their death because of very bad decisions. Those have been kind of papered over. I mean, those have really been papered over throughout this crisis. And so I think it would be nice, and I wouldn't hold my breath, it would be nice to have some kind of reckoning over this. I mean, why was the press so wrong and how it covered this issue? And how is it going to change now that we've seen the evidence? We've seen the proof. I mean, the proof is in the numbers and the science and the reality of what's happening in this country. And it would be nice if there was, you know, some kind of recognition of that and a change to admit, hey, we were wrong. We got the story wrong. Ultimately, we were the ones who were spreading disinformation about this. You know, that was the wrong way to go.
Well said. I can't add anything to that, Jarrett. Daily Signal, Heritage, I appreciate all you're doing. And you know what? Let's just hope that each week we keep talking about this and there's less of this to talk about and we can get on to other things.
That sounds great to me. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Jarrett. Thank you as much. I always appreciate it. He's always a great guest. And you can follow again, Jarrett, at Daily Signal or Heritage. A good shop is up next, folks. And they want to help you out with all of your collision repair needs, whether that's a detail, a complete fix-up. You want to take the old car and make it look new again. You've got a collision. You've got some damage that needs fixed. Whatever it happens to be, we have three locations to serve you up in the north part of town, and it's worth the drive. Trust me, no matter where you're at in town, it's worth the drive. Find them at klzradio.com. They've got a great estimating tool on their own website that you can find there as well, or call 720-541-7697.
Al and his team at A Good Shop advocate for you behind the scenes so you can live your life. You may not understand the complicated details of your auto body insurance claim. You just want your vehicle back to pre-accident condition in a reasonable amount of time. Once you drop off your vehicle at A Good Shop, they will take it from there as you are updated throughout the repair process. Al and Jamie Sturm earn OE certifications for name brands like Subaru, Ford, and many others so they can provide the parts recommended by your vehicle's manufacturer. They will work with your insurance company to replace parts that are best for your vehicle. A Good Shop wants to fix your vehicle right, so they contact parts suppliers so your insurance dollars stretch even further. Meanwhile, you keep living your life. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/collision for $100 off your repairs.
Managers control their employees. Leaders empower them. John Rush will teach you how to run your business as a leader, not manager, so you have the freedom to do what you love. You went into business for yourself because you wanted freedom, but right now your business couldn't last one day without your involvement. Learn how to stop micromanaging and give your employees more responsibility so you can step back and enjoy yourself. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. I believe Sean from Franktown Firearms should be calling us here in a moment. We're going to talk to him about what's going on out there. And really a topic I wanted to talk to Sean about today when it comes to the increasing amount of young people that are now actually, you know, not only buying guns but getting trained and really getting themselves up to speed in this particular area. So, Sean from Franktown, how are you today, sir?
Hey, John, doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. So, you know, we've all seen here lately that, you know, all the gun bills and things that are not only in our state but across the country are in the news. And, of course, we've seen some shootings across the country, and I'm not going to get into that because, frankly, those are for a different day at a different time. I'm one that says if, you know, a good guy with a gun shows up and is there, those things don't typically happen in the first place. But what I wanted to talk about today, especially with you, is, you know, the amount of young people that, which I think is encouraging, by the way, that are now getting into, you know, owning a gun, being trained on it, and so on. You know, it's kind of a national thing that's happening. What do you see at Franktown?
We're seeing just that, actually. It is really nice. It's nice to see young folks from all walks of life, you know, all political spectrum, you know, doesn't matter
right.
who everybody's, you know, it seems to be, is getting into the guns. And that's great because a lot of these people maybe didn't have any other experience with firearms, or maybe only a bad one or what they see on the news. And now they've gotten into them and they're realizing, like, hey, this is a lot of fun. I mean, I've got to take it very seriously, be responsible, but this is fun. And they're getting into the shooting sports. They're getting their kids into it. And we're seeing kind of like a revitalization of it. It's a revival. It's nice.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I look at, and I, you know, bear with me here, and I know some folks out there may disagree with me on this, but I've always thought that, and I've seen it happen, Sean, so I know this does take place. When somebody buys a gun, and it dispels a lot of the stereotypes that they have heard through the press or even friends and family about owning a gun, in a way, Sean, it's an eye-opener for them to even look at other policies and things that are going on socially in the country. And pretty soon they're thinking, wait a minute, if I was lied to about this, what else am I not being told the truth on? In a way, it's a big eye-opener, and frankly, why I think a lot of individuals that are on the left, frankly, do not want people to own guns in the first place, because it really does make you look at things differently than you would otherwise.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I agree with you wholeheartedly, because once they realize, well, why can't I? Why can't I have one? I'm no different than you.
Right.
And then they get one, and then they start realizing, well, maybe just a baker's dozen more, that couldn't hurt.
Well, and then they also start to realize that, wait a minute, time out. When that thing is put away properly and is being properly used, it's not jumping up out of the gun safe or out of the drawer next to the nightstand and killing or shooting anybody. This is all, you know, this is all on the behavior of the individual that's, you know, using it, or, you know, that has it in their hand at that time. This is not a gun situation. This is a people situation.
Yeah, very much. It's I like to use the analogy of with automobiles, and that's not a right. That's a privilege.
Right.
That's not a constitutional
that's
guaranteed
right.
right.
That's right.
But if you, you know, do something stupid behind the wheel, you can bet that something's going to happen with that. And, you know, it's all about being responsible with it.
It is. Now, back to you guys. And I know that, you know, talking about young people buying guns, and the reality is you'll sell a gun to anybody that, you know, can meet the background check that you guys feel qualifies and so on. You've also got lots of training for a first-time gun buyer, or somebody that maybe has owned one for a long time but needs some refresher. You know, talk about that end of it as well. I think there's a lot of folks out there that think, wait a minute, I don't know the first thing. I mean, I know that a gun has a trigger. You know, I know there's you know, bullets that go in some way somehow, and there's a trigger. But other than that, I know nothing about it. How do you take somebody, like I just said, and walk them through this whole process?
We take them step by step. So when they come in to get a gun and they do the background check, a lot of people don't know, or they just have, there's a lot of misconceptions, like, do I have to register my gun? We have people come in and say, I want to register it. Like, no, you don't.
Right.
You don't register your guns
right.
in the state, at least not yet. I'm sure that there's plenty of people who'd love to know what everyone has. But right now, that's not a thing. And then they realize, wow, this isn't as easy to do as I thought. And there's a lot of, you know, stringent, you got to fill out a, you know, multiple page background check. We get them through that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then they get their free hour on the range if they get a gun. But usually if they don't know anything about it, and you can't expect someone to know until they learn.
Right.
So then we teach them.
Yeah, your analogy of the car situation, I always like that, because to your point, driving is a privilege. It's not a right. Owning a gun is a right. And yet, much like driving a car, Sean, you have to be walked through this process of, you know, what's it take when you get behind the wheel? How do you properly turn? How do you properly steer and brake when there's snow or ice on the road? I mean, all these different things come into play. It's no different owning a gun.
No, it's not. And, you know, a lot of the people, especially more on the left side of things, trying to push, well, everyone should have to take a class. Everyone, well, that's, it should be common sense. And that is where a lot of this does end up prevailing, because hardly anyone that I've ever seen in 12 years goes and gets a gun and then's like, no, I know everything. Because they realize, okay, I need to learn how to use this.
Right.
This is a serious tool. It could be fun if I know how to have fun with it safely.
Yeah, there's a projectile coming out of the end of this. If I pull the trigger, that can be very damaging. I'm going to respect that. So I will, in turn, get trained to know how to use this. And to your point, I feel very fortunate. Was raised in a home where my dad taught us gun safety. Sean, I've been around him for probably as long as I can, literally as long as I can remember. And I had a father that was very, pointed in making sure that all of us kids knew exactly how all of that worked at a very, very early age, so that we had a good, solid, healthy respect for a gun and knew how to handle it from a very early age. And, you know, the shooting skills, all of that, being proficient, yes, that takes practice, and you got to continue to do that. But that healthy respect, Sean, that was taught at a very early age and never goes away.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're working on now, actually, on our next show for Shooting the Breeze for Saturday. We're going in there with Karen, our head instructor, and we're going to be announcing working with our new kids' classes.
Awesome.
So people can bring their kids in and we can help introduce them to being safe.
By the way, everybody listening, nothing better, and this is where I am totally the opposite of anybody on the left. I don't care if your child is 4, 5, 6 years of age. If they are old enough to hold a squirt gun, they are old enough to learn normal, regular gun safety. Now, does that mean I'm going to give them a gun to use on their own? Of course, Sean, absolutely not. But they can understand what one does at a very early age.
Absolutely. To have that healthy respect and know that that is not a toy and that they should not touch it, and if they find one, to get an adult.
That's right. All right. How do folks get a hold of you, Sean? And by the way, what's inventory and wait time like right now?
Wait time, they've brought in a lot of contractors, so it's usually taken within a day.
Okay,
and
good.
Inventory is good. We just got more ammunition in, so come on down. You can call us anytime. 7 days a week we're open, and we can be reached at 720-770-7777 and franktownfirearms.com.
Sean, you're the man. I appreciate it very much and all that you guys are doing. And, yeah, everybody listening, please enjoy Shooting the Breeze on Saturdays. And it's a great program. Also replays on Mondays. Tuesday. Sorry, it'll be on tomorrow. So you'll be able to listen to it. No. Tuesday at 2. Make sure I say that correctly. Tuesday at 2, you'll hear that again. So, Sean, thanks again as always. I appreciate it very much, sir. And enjoy the rest of your
week. Thanks, John.
All right, man, I appreciate it. So, by the way, any lineup, because I can't memorize and remember where all these are at, just go to the klzradio.com website. You'll see them all there. You know exactly when every show is. It's really easy at that point. So, Novus Auto Glass is up next. And by the way, we just had another inquiry on the KLZ 560 page in asking for the windshield Band-Aids. One of those just came through. That's there for you as well. If you'd like those windshield Band-Aids, where if you get a chip in the window and you want to protect it until you can get it fixed, which, by the way, is the best way to do it, just go to klzradio.com, fill out that information sheet for Novus on the website, and we'll ship those out to you. If you want a location near you, or you can pick them up for free if you happen to be by one, you can also do that. Find a location near you by going to rushtoreason.com, so it's the website, and just click on the Novus link, and that's Novus.
As the inventor of windshield repair, Novus Auto Glass saves you money by repairing chips and cracks whenever possible. With their patented glass repair technology, Novus can tackle tougher cracks than the competition. In some cases, they can repair cracks up to a foot long, but you have a much better chance at a repair by acting fast. Something as simple as going through a car wash could make your little chip or crack irreparable. For KLZ listeners only, Novus will send you a packet of protective windshield stickers for free. Little pieces of specially designed tape to cover any chips or cracks as soon as they appear, like a bandage for your glass. Request your free windshield patches now at klzradio.com/glass. No matter what sort of damage you're dealing with, there's never any risk with a Novus repair. Should your windshield repair fail, they will credit the cost toward a replacement. klzradio.com/glass.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, folks, I did double check, and yes, Shooting the Breeze, it's on Saturdays from 2 to 2:30, and we replay it again today on Mondays from 2 to 2:30 as well. Fix It Radio is on Tuesdays from 2 to 3 o'clock, so I thought I had that right in my mind, and I'm sorry. Sometimes I get so much stuff going on in my head, it takes me a minute to decipher those things out. But yes, you can listen to Shooting the Breeze and a lot of what Sean was talking about a moment ago. Mondays 2 to 2:30 or Saturdays 2 to 2:30 as well. Or if you ever have a question, just give the guys out at Franktown a call. They would love to chat. You can always stop in, say hi. But I cannot stress this enough. If you do, please, please, please tell them you heard them here. Tell them you heard me talking about them on Rush to Reason or on one of their weekend programs. That helps us out immensely. All right, when I come back, Leah Volkmir is going to join us. Again, she is with the National Taxpayers Union. We're going to talk about this fight against this transportation tax hike. They're going to call it fees, but it's a tax hike here in Colorado. We'll talk about that as soon as we come back. If you're listening to the Replay Hour, have a great evening. We thank you very much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Hour number two is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.